But when 7:30 hits, you have to turn it on and wave and say hi.
Yeah. Show them our room.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Show us who's. Do you have people coming into the room first?
No, we didn't tell anyone.
Okay. When you said when people get here, I was thinking you meant in your room, but you meant virtually.
No, we didn't bother asking anybody.
Yeah. There's no Westerners here hardly at all, except for yesterday. A German and French guy came.
Yeah.
And we had a Russian for a couple days, and he's gone. That's it. I mean, seriously.
I have a few people that are very interested in talking about hearing our connection about Mother and how we came to the path and how we balanced Christianity. And one girl who was raised Christian and is now pretty much considers herself Hindu, or at least a Papa's path. So we were talking with them, but the one family that was might have been most interested, they just left.
Oh, I see.
One of the very interesting things is that the ashram can hold 300 people. There were 400 at the centenary celebration, and there's going to be 750 here.
And Swamiji said, and that's just the ones who have signed up. He says, the day of, people will come without telling us anything. We know that. So could exceed 1,000.
So it's amazing to see all. I mean, it's already getting pretty packed.
And it's very noisy now, even at night, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
So it's, we haven't started the Ram Nam, but the group that Chandanandra asked me to form,
yes.
A foreigner, but there's no foreigners, so only one other one who actually lives in India, but we've got our group together, and we are actually the first ones to start. So
that's
quite amazing. We'll be starting the Ram Nam on the 24th. On the evening of the 24th at 6 o'clock, will be the first one starting.
I think, General, I think we'll wait 5 more minutes just to make sure everyone's come on, and then we can start.
Yeah,
nice to talk to you.
It's not quite 7:30.
Yeah, you're right. So, by the way, anyone else want to talk? Please do so. This is nice to do for us to get together with you guys for sure.
See the Christmas tree in Michelle's place.
Yeah. Hi, Michelle.
Oh, there's another Christmas tree. Aha. Nice, Joe.
All my angels.
And Maureen's. Aha. Oh, lovely. Lovely.
I got a new Christmas tree from my neighborhood network.
Oh, nice.
They were giving it away, and it can go from either colored light to blue, either white lights or colored lights, just by flipping the switch.
Oh, that's nice.
It was
Christmas tree.
And
hi,
the
Judy.
Who gave it to me said,
hi.
You're from Illinois.
Oh, Judy, yours is pretty too.
Do you see Master be right behind it?
Yes.
Yes, there he is.
And David to the left.
Yeah. Somewhere in there. Can't see where.
Mother must be in the, is Mother in the oval frame, Judy?
She's on the opposite wall.
Yeah.
Where can I find my beautiful mother? Let's see here.
In your heart.
Yeah, definitely. Is that? Yep, that's Mother right there. Anyways, since people are showing their trees, now I'll sign out again.
Thanks for sharing.
Well, it's very nice to be here. It's actually reminding me of my time 20 years ago when I was here with Swami Satchitananda. For some reason, it's got the same kind of feeling about it. And it feels very, very special to be here. And so far, it doesn't feel overwhelming with all the people. It just feels like, a, as Marge would say, a big loveness. And there's so much love and joy, happiness in people's faces,
very festive. Really
and is. Not just festive party, but just a real feeling of love, and Yeah, it's really wonderful, actually. You just feel like you're flowing in a mass of papa love.
Everyone's so polite.
So,
That's great.
Yeah.
Seeing some old friends and people I haven't seen in many years whose name I don't remember, but I remember their faces. And dear Nalini is having some memory problems, so every time she sees me, she says, "Oh, so nice to see you. I haven't seen you in so long." So we get this whole joy of meeting again.
You had said that just when I was wondering how Nalini was doing. So thank you, Ram.
She's glowing and doing just fine.
And Kathy, good to see you. Bob? Joshua, Gerald,
Joshua.
And
People
Diane.
Remember you, Joshua? Mentioning you when we talked to them?
Yes, Joshua, I met Sanjay. I think he told you. It's quite a story that he gave me about his family and everything.
Why don't you turn on?
Okay.
Cheryl now, though.
Just getting the audio wait for her. Well, anyway, we've got data trouble, so we're just going to have video on for a little bit to assure that we can get through the whole talk. There we are.
Yay.
There's our new colony room.
If I can. A new colony that's 20 years.
Yeah.
They're next door to Nalini and Shruti's room.
That's right. Nalini is right behind the wall where we're facing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're lucky to have our own digs, let me tell you.
It's getting very, very crowded.
They've got a school across the street that they're going to put a whole 100 people in the school. The school said, go ahead, just take over the school and you can... But I don't know what kind of, they'll probably just do bed rolls.
And they've got pads and stuff they're sending over there. Yeah, we saw some of that. And sheets and things.
We were lucky to get in and get our place.
Swami Muktananda is doing very well. He's, he has these, in the morning, his throat's a little rough, but after that, he's quite good. Yeah, he's really chipper and able to get around and move around pretty well. So some of you probably haven't heard, but Swamiji is coming to America in, they're coming to London for 1 week. They'll spend a month in America and a week in France and then home. So 6 weeks or so. And it'll start on, April 9th. And through April, May 29th is the pencil. It's a penciled in scheduled thing.
March 29th.
No, it's April 9th to May 29th.
Okay.
And
are you sure? I want it to be Kate. I think.
Sorry?
Tell us the itinerary again. Which direction?
To London for a week, and then to America, New York, Dallas, Seattle, and. And then they'll go to France. Not that they think they just got the three places and said people will have to come to them.
Yeah.
And Swamiji doesn't travel very well. He's going to travel business class on the long runs, and then he wants to just be able to stay in one place and have people come to him rather than him move around. And that's why they've set it up that way.
So it's very exciting that we get
be in Washington at the end of May.
No.
Yes, middle of May.
Yeah, we'll get the dates very soon. They'll be doing the itinerary very soon. They were waiting to have the man who's accompanying them, they're waiting to get his visa set, and then they're going to make
actually, there's two men, and if, so Sundar, Bhajan Sundar, very good.
Yeah.
He is coming with Swamiji. He still is waiting on his visa for sure, but he's been in America before. He'll probably get his. in time. And then they can make schedules, actual flights and all of that once they have these. And then now they're waiting on the other man who's never been to America, and that may be more problematic. We'll see.
But I was standing beside somebody, and when she was hearing Shrada talk about it, she said, "Well, who is there in Seattle?" And I said, "Why is somebody going to Seattle?" "Oh, our group." So that was very, very much a privilege. So
please let us know how we can make the visit. How we can make the visit easier.
A retreat or something so that everybody can come. Yeah.
Ah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe Lutherwood would be the better place to do a lot of this, maybe for a few days. And I think we could talk him into traveling for that, a thing like that extended.
Yeah, his knee is
so, but
problem.
Do think about places to do it.
Yeah.
Do think about
his knee is his problem, I believe. And so a car might be easier than a plane because he could stretch out a lot. If it was the right car.
Although I'm glad he's accepted business class. That part has been confirmed from Sundar said, no, he's going to do business class.
Yeah, good.
Which is, you know, we don't want him really, really tired and worn out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is a time. It's a delayed Swami Satchidananda visit. I feel his mind on this and his will on this because he came close to, it was very close for him to come in those days. And then he had a stroke and he actually had plans earlier than that while he was still healthy.
And the visa and everything.
Yeah. But this one was looking like it's going to happen. So nice. All right. I'm going to turn the video off just to make sure we can get through the whole program today, although it's not going to be a long talk. And we can have a discussion of all we want. And in fact, we should plan on just afterwards we can have a discussion for as long as our data holds out.
Nice.
Let's do an opening prayer. Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, beloved Jesus Christ,
Jesus
Christ, Blessed Master,
Blessed
Master, dearest Mother,
dearest,
beloved David, whom we're missing so much.
We're missing so much.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages.
I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles.
My life.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Give me physical, mental, spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only
King,
reigning
on the throne of my consciousness. Oh, oh, peace, bliss, amen. Oh, Jill, would you play? Do you have music ready to play now?
Thank you.
realizing it'll be Mother's 118th birthday. This, I did that right. This Christmas. Our Bible reading is from Luke. This is chapter 1, but starting with verse 57. And it's a little long, but I think it's worth reading. And I'm starting with Elizabeth's birth of John. After the Annunciation and the Visitation, which we all love so much, and I kind of wanted to read them, but it gets quite long, so I started here at the birth of John. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And remember, his father Zacharias couldn't speak after being in the temple. And when John was first announced to him. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up on an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
I got it, Tim.
To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his shewing unto Israel. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in the swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, but behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Can you hear the people talking in the background? It's not too noisy, is it?
No, it's fine, Larry. It's very subtle.
So the solstices were always important to Sri Yukteswar, being an astrologer and an astronomer. And I wanted to let everyone know that we have a book that we'll be printing. It's a reprint of the 1949 edition. I'm going to just show it to everyone on the screen. There we go. So this is the copy, it's a facsimile of the copy that Mother had. And it's still in her library, Mother's library, but it's got, it was quite torn up. And so I've made the best approach at making a duplicate of it. And doesn't have some of the Sanskrit translated. But anyway, we'll try to make these available in this next year or so, maybe on Sri Yukteswar's birthday. And I started to read some of the things in here about the solstice and all that. But in fact, there isn't. I was wrong to think that this would be the book for that. Of course, it's in the autobiography where this is talked about in more detail. One of the things I read that Sri Yukteswar taught was that if you take a copper rod and you heat one end of it, it will cause the electrons in that rod. Copper is very conductive, meaning it has an easy flow of electrons. So he knew this at his day, in his time. And if you heat one end of the copper rod, the electrons will, either, I don't know which direction, but anyway, the electrons will flow because of that. And so he said that when the sun comes up and it just starts to heat the what's called the limb, L-I-M-N, the limb of the earth, and when we see that as sunrise, so we just see the sun coming up, it's heating the ground in a big arc all the way across the whole earth on a line. And he said that is very conducive for meditation during that time because of the heat. I don't know if he said electron flow, but certainly the effect of prana that is in there too. So the he had always times to do this was associated with sunrise, but you know, this just shows how much he studied these cardinal points that occur on a daily basis and on a yearly basis and on the larger precession cycle, of course, is what he's famous for. And in the holy science, that's many people focus on the introduction, which has all that information, and sometimes I think the book itself is difficult to read. The main text of the book is difficult to read. In our Western minds, we like the science involved in the introduction. But the book itself is very important, and it fits in well with Mother's overall look at how to interpret scriptures and Headmaster also how he interpreted scriptures. So what happens in a in a solstice, and equinoxes also he talked about as cardinal points on the calendar. Well, if you think, this is good to know, this basic stuff. If you look at the Earth, it is spinning on an axis. It's an invisible axis, but it's spinning in a consistent manner. Every day, you know, the sun comes up and the Earth is spinning towards the sun. That's why it looks like it's coming up. But the axis that it's spinning, the pointing of this North Pole, is always pointed within a reasonable number of hundreds of years anyway, within a lifetime of ours, we would see the sun, the pole pointed to Polaris. Right now, it's Polaris. And it's been that way our whole lifetime, all of us. It's so close to Polaris, it's really unique. And now, of course, there's so many stars in the sky that as the pole moves around, it would point to some star that would be identified as a pole star. But it's convenient that the Polaris is so bright, it's bright enough to see quite easily. But as the Earth goes around the sun, it's still pointing in the same direction, but the sun is pointing at a different position. So if you can imagine the sorry for the noise in the background. So the sun is the planet Earth is always pointed in the same direction, but the Earth position relative to the sun is changing. And so when it's furthest from the sun, opposite the sun, then we have winter in the northern hemisphere and summer in the southern, because the southern pole at that point is closest to the sun and oriented that way. Now, why do we see these as being cardinal points? We see them because we know this is the longest night of the year. And so we can measure that. There's 2 or 3 days, and really solstice means just the sun standing still. Stisse is Latin, I believe. Sol is Latin for sun, and so staying still. And that's because if you watch the sun on a regular basis throughout the year, the sun is constantly changing its point of sunrise. So you will see the sun rise in the summertime very far north. You know, and then it's not so much in the tropics like we are now, but in Israel is north of the Tropic of Cancer. And then all of the northern points above that, the sun always changes position each day. And eventually it comes into the far south, but then it stops for 2 or 3 days. And I found that very interesting, that measure-wise, it's very difficult to discern those 2 or 3 days except after the fact. So you can say, you know, that it occurred 2 days ago, and then they started to make the calendar around that. So you could go past it, and you could say, oh, there's 3 days there where we couldn't even say how much it moved. It literally was stationary. And then again, it starts to move. So we don't see the sun and the moon and the stars like they do in Egypt and other places in the world, that people who are stargazing and always have. The Chinese, of course, too. But we're in the Aztecs. My gosh, there's so many people involved. This has been part of their religion, part of their teachings, and part of their understanding. And then, of course, you throw in astrology, and life gets very, very much more difficult. We tend to focus on the astronomy, being Western trained, but the Eastern people noticed these patterns. And the ancient people, the zodiac goes very far back in time. And the ancient people were aware of patterns that occurred. And we can be skeptical of this, but we do know that police blotters show that there's much more crime around the new full moon. This is something, as you know, you could say perhaps that it's just circumstantial or coincidental or psychosomatic. Choose your poison. But the fact is, there are patterns that occur, and if you pay attention to them, they really do very greatly drive the average common person, who's driven by the powers in the world as more than inwardly. And the saints, Papa said, I play football with the stars. And Master said, give me my worst days and I will defeat them. Because he wasn't showing off. He was saying that I know the extent of the power of these, and these are real. They are definitely happening, but we have it within us to beat that. We have it, and this was this great example that our beloved Master was able to give to the world, to the Western world that he was teaching. He could show that this was true. So the patterns are noted. The astrological charts are drawn up. And you talk to and read about astrology, and you'll find that it's so ancient, some of these signs. Now, I haven't been able to get astrological signs, etc. But I'm sure there's correspondence. But the ones in the West that we use are very, very ancient. I really don't know how old they are. So the sun plays a role in our daily life. It plays a role in our monthly life and within the four quarters in the year, the equinox and solstices. And it's interesting that I've not personally noticed much, except for the solstices perhaps, that I haven't noticed much in my own experience. In fact, never noticed anything at the equinox. So it's something that's very subtle. And if you're tuned into it, it becomes more apparent. I think
Larry,
people have had... Yes.
Sri Yukteswar would have social gatherings on the equinoxes.
Oh, and not just the solstices.
Yeah, it was the parties, the kind of parties were on the equinoxes. Very social.
So the ones in the that are in the autobiography are at the solstices. So now, not
okay.
Yeah, at least in the picture, it shows them at a solstice celebration. And
okay.
His teachings were that the equinoxes were equally important. But so I'm now curious, what did he do on?
No, I think I'm wrong. No surprise.
No, you're not wrong in assuming that he is something he would have celebrated. Yeah, anyway, just to make that point, that the picture, the famous picture we see of Master in Sri Yukteswar in the grounds at Srirampur, in Serampur, that's a solstice party that I remember. Anyone can correct me, please. Minor point. I think, though, that it is interesting. The solstices are recognized so powerfully. And it's certain that I was just reading, I've been reading a lot about the more esoteric stuff around Jesus. And one of the things that one author said is that the 25th is chosen now was at one time, possibly, right at the equinox. Sorry, the solstice. And it could be that the 25th of December in ancient times was, and don't forget that this because of the Julian calendar offsets and the extra quarter of a year, and all the confusion associated with that. These days are quite movable. So his theory was that it wasn't the 25th was something special about that day, other than the fact that it was a solstice day. It was what you'd expect. We always think, well, gee, Jesus came a few days after the solstice to bring in the new year and to herald the new year. And, of course, there's Mithras was also, that was his date. I do think this author is on to something that maybe needs, and it probably has been investigated. I just haven't read any confirmation of it, that the 25th was in old calendars was the solstice. And almost all cultures, mature cultures, have a solstice party and a time for people to recognize it's changing and we're going into the spring eventually. It's interesting that we have these astrological charts in our birth, and that will set into position or place our characteristics, our external characteristics, public persona perhaps, but also there's inner aspects. If you read about astrology, there's evidence of certain planets affecting your inner self as well. So it's very mysterious why our bodies are affected, why our soul, why our being is affected by these dates, by these movements of the, primarily the Earth and the Sun and the Moon relationships. And that Mother says that we have the Christ seed is born, is created every 29 and a half days. And, of course, that is the moon cycle, which is what's called the synodic period. It's the period in which the moon goes from full moon to full moon. And that it's some of the stuff I've been reading says that the seed comes when the moon is in your birth sign. So when the moon moves in its relationship to the year, when the moon is, and I'm a Cancer, so that when the moon is in Cancer, I would expect to see this seed drop at that point. And so how do you put an astrological chart together to know what things influence what? I've been reading about a scientific theory that says that gravity is instantaneous. We always think of the sun, the light from the sun taking some 8 minutes to travel from the sun to the earth. And that we think of the speed of light the way that we do, but that gravity is instantaneous. There's some very, very interesting experiments that have been done to show that it's possible. And so one of the things that people say about how the stars influence you at birth, how could they influence you when they're not even right in this minute, in the same position in the sky, because we always think of the stars as moving, but we're seeing the of the sun or these stars as they were 8 million years ago. We always hear the story. But it's interesting to think that perhaps we're wrong about that. I've been thinking a lot about the fact that this world is treated, in our modern scientific idea, is treated as though we're this little tiny space in the universe, and everything is far, far away, wheeling away, and we don't have any knowledge of what's going on outside. Now, we have the notion, of course, that we can space with telepathy. We can know things that, as they happen across the world. So we do know that in a telepathic sense, it's instantaneous. Are there other instantaneous things? Is gravity that way? It makes sense that it would be. These astrological charts, Sri Yukteswar didn't spend his whole life investigating this without it having some bearing some fruit and being something fruitful, meaning worthwhile for him to do. So in that sense, I have faith in that, but I haven't studied it sufficiently, certainly not at his level. But I muse often about the forces that come into our lives at birth, and why does that lock things in? And then why does it throughout your lifetime, all of the stars play different roles for you in different ways because of that time at birth? You know, as I was reading this morning in Luke, it's really quite beautiful writing. It always makes you wonder what the original writing was like in its own day. We definitely, you know, the King James Version by real poets and translated and transcribed by, some people think even Shakespeare. It was done during Shakespeare's time, so they think that even Shakespeare contributed to it. There were many contributors to the King James Version. But it is truly a beautiful book, and there's so much, not just clever turn of phrase, but there is clever turn of phrase, but there is so much meaning coming from the way the words come together and the thoughts and the ideas. If we think about the bare stories, we get bogged down in the science and the relationships of how things work. But when you cover it with a parable, as we think, as Mother teaches, the Bible is, you cover it with a parable. First of all, you really do make it accessible to all levels. If you only study the one story, Mother, remember the story that Mother told, and David liked to tell that story, that truth is badly treated when it goes around, whereas when truth meets parable, then they get along just fine. And that's the necessary thing, that truth needs a parable to make it popular and to make it meaningful and to make it more acceptable. So, you know, it's funny, I've never read the Bible from start to end, so I've read most of the New Testament, and especially the Gospels, of course, we all have read them. But they are a treasure trove of ideas, and for our teachings, they are suggestive of many, many things. There's so much there, and I think that's because there are so many people involved in those early days constructing it. And it was added to over the succeeding centuries. Good evidence that Paul's writings are the earliest. Clearly, even in the first century, 70, 60 maybe A.D., and that the Gospels were written many years later. And they were done after the fact. They were done to make a story that... Let's put it this way. St. Francis is so interesting that he was the first to bring about the idea of having a creche and celebrating Christmas at that. We think that's obvious that they didn't do it before that. So it was a very different kind of love affair that he had with these stories. He concretized them. He wanted to make them real to people. And for that time he was living, it probably was very beneficial. He was a great reformer of the church. He brought so much life into it and spiritual understanding with it. But mostly it was that idea of peace and love that Jesus taught. And that's what he wanted to promote. He lived in a time when it was very difficult. So many wars, there was conquests, and knights and crusaders. He was actually involved in some skirmishes, and that's what did him in. He just couldn't do it. He realized it was not right. So the way it's come down to our modern time is really, really, we have a wonderful, wonderful thing in our society, using the stories the way that they are and imagining being there on in Bethlehem with Jesus and with Mary and Joseph traveling to Egypt and coming back. There's so many beautiful, beautiful movies of that, of the story. And they really do move you because there's a human aspect. What do you do under these circumstances? And how do you imagine? There's this beautiful song called I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me is the group, Christian group. It's to imagine what it's like to be with Jesus in heaven. What will I be? Will I be able to even speak? All of these things settle the mind and rest the mind, regardless of the higher teachings and what they're really trying to show for the people at the very end of the cycle of life, when we're all going back to God. There's many people entering the cycle of life as humans. And there's something here in the Christian Bible for all levels of people. David used to give such great talks, and so did Mother on Christmas. It's so nice to be with both of them. Mother really loved Christmas. Even if it hadn't been her birthday, she would have, I'm sure. So let's turn it over to some questions. I want to say questions or comments, please. I want to say one thing I found very, I had heard this before. Some of us know Swami Sannyasananda here at the ashram. He was a giant, and then he became a Swami a few years ago. I think it was 2004.
2004.
You were there. Kate was there. That's right. Anyway,
that's more than a few years ago, Larry. That's more than a few years ago.
Anyway.
Well, no, it would have been January because he won. It was Shiva Ratri. He said Shiva Ratri was his January. His memory was January 18th that year.
Yep.
And but anyway, he his birthday is a December 27th of the Sannyas Day. He had told me that before. As soon as he said it, I thought it sounds familiar. I searched my mind. I'm certain he told me that before. But what a delightful thing. He said he met Papa only once. When he was 16 years old, his family knew about Papa, and he came down to make a decision on his life, what he wanted to do to work. And he ended up coming through this area, meeting with Papa, and then being sent on his way to the job, I think in South Carolina. Not sure, but someplace south of here. And not knowing that he would eventually be living here. But all you know, everyone feels safe. The Papa is taking care of everything. Any comments or questions, people?
I think we might be.
Go ahead. You're muted, Greg.
I just verified that I did have control.
Larry, I was just going to comment that when you mentioned that song, I can only imagine, which I actually played and sung along to today, making a treat for Ricky, but I can never really, I mean, I love that song, but we don't have to imagine because we did enjoy the presence of two Christs, mm-hmm. You know, so there's no imagining. We know already.
We can imagine again, though, can't we?
Yeah, that's for sure.
We were really feeling David here this time.
Of course, he wouldn't miss that party for the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're talking to people about Mother's new book coming out about her time here, too, so... In fact, we're expecting it tomorrow, I think, Saturday. We were given a false hope the other day. Oh, all the books have come. And so we went down, or we were asking Shraddha about that. It turns out our book has been delayed, so the 24th. We'll be able to give it out on the 25th. Mm. And we're getting ready the American version that's going to go to the printers in Florida. We want to see this book first before and do a good review of it, and then we'll do any changes that come to us at that point and then ship it off to Florida and have it ready for Mother's Mahasamadhi.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I was just going to agree with Judy of... whenever at work we sing the hymn in the garden, the old one where, you know, he walks with me and he talks with me.
I know, I love that one.
Whenever we sing that, I always think of David because...
Interesting, of course.
Just, and I just feel so blessed because everybody else in the room has to try to imagine, but I don't.
Yeah.
I just think of David and
yeah, it's nice to also, you know, we're eating a lunch or breakfast or dinner, and we see David's picture on one side and Mother's at the other. Nice to see. I just remember so strongly while I was there the first couple of days, just so strongly of him sitting with me right on that same bench as though he was there.
No as though about it, Larry.
Right.
It's not his fault that you're not vibrating at the same level.
Don't I know it.
Not that I would be either, but.
No, you're right, though. You're right. As a mother also is still with us.
We felt him in Port Townsend also very much.
Mm-hmm. It was nice, wasn't it, by there? Mm-hmm.
I was curious, Larry, are there many of the other saints that frequent Anandashram coming? I assume they're coming to this celebration too, and have you seen them already?
No, I do not know. Certainly, I didn't know very many. Yamashwari,
she sent some prasad over, but she's not coming.
Truly Baba is no more. Those are only the ones that
there's the Swami. Oh. Nanda, I'm always going to say.
So he was at the book.
He was at the Swamiji Centenary, and he will be. He comes every winter, and he'll be here again. There are a few Swamis that are here who seem very nice. One of them's got a lovely light in his eye.
Both of them. Yeah.
And three of them. We haven't. I don't know if they're here exactly in an official capacity.
I guess Divine Life is coming down with a big contingent, and they'll only be here, I think, 3 days. But that means it's really going to swell the numbers, because whenever Chidananda used to come, he would bring his retinue along, but then all of the other people who even heard about the rumors that he was traveling here would come too. So I suspect we're going to see numbers swell for that too. Swami Muktananda is just so surrendered to Papa. He talked about it very plainly this morning, and just about how many people there are coming and how Papa is going to do it. Or was that yesterday? Sorry, that was yesterday at the reading, where he's doing the reading of the In Quest of God, discussing those different chapters in a very shortened form. At the end of it, he did his final ohms, and normally we get up and walk out. He stopped and he said, "You know, we have no idea how this is going to be work." And Chandrananda just smiles and says, "Really, we don't."
I was thinking to myself, if I was organizing something for 100 people, I'd be, you know, running around like a chicken. And they're just trusting that Papa's going to take care of all of it. Not that they're not doing anything, and other people are stepping in to do work. I got to serve. I'll be serving dinners, and so, you know, people are stepping in. But really, the whole logistics of it, they're just playing it by ear. They're practicing what Papa taught about just letting God take care of everything.
When they run out of prasad in the morning, they run out of prasad. I didn't get one of the things, and Kate got one, and I didn't. It was not fair. But, you know, it's just what you do, isn't it? You do the best you can, and you move forward. And food, there seems to be plenty of food, though, so, and really good food. It's really been good. You can see there's so much love. All the people giving out prasad, that's their personal gifts to the ashram, you know. And they'll give out those, remember those donuts, if you've ever had them, called wadis or wadas? Wadis. Oh, they are so good. And they're still warm when we get them. They're just incredible. And they smile so lovingly to give them out to each person. And down at the canteen, too. A huge crowd now, getting so much more every day. And they're doing fine.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see how it all goes. Yesterday, even at dinner, two people were having to stand and eat. You know, and we're probably only half full at this point of what there's going to be. So maybe even less than that. So it gets, it'll be very interesting. What
gets to the point where you have to surrender to God because there's no other option.
There's no other options. And I'm feeling like we're getting to experience a Kumbh Mela just just right here. Without having to go someplace, we're getting our own.
So speaking of that, let me tell you a little story of a young man that I met here who is just he read the autobiography, and he says, it completely changed my life. He said, I started it, I was an atheist and didn't care about any of this, and by the time I got done, it's completely turned his life upside down. And so he went to he loves Sri Yukteswar's story of being with at the Kumbh Mela. So he went to the Kumbh Mela up in, told me the name of the town. It wasn't Allahabad where it normally is or where we always think of it. Anyway, it's up north. And he went there and he said, you know, I was treated, I could tell he was going through a honeymoon period. I was treated so well by those sadhus. He says, everywhere I went, they would give me anything they had. And I was so joyful. He really was a wonderful. He had no interest in that kind of thing before because he thought negatively about what it would be like. Instead, he said, I was just so happy to be there. Oh, very interesting young man.
And you're staying long enough that you get to experience the crowds diminishing and being back to normal, right?
Yes, it should go back to normal. You know, it's still the kind of holiday period because we may leave around just before Master's birthday to go and spend Master's birthday with a Yogananda group. So
in Chennai.
Chennai, and then we may go up to Ranchi. So we will be here after for sure, a few days. Yeah. But share one more thing, if you don't mind. Yesterday, so Swamiji is taking the various, going through the chapters of the In Quest of God, like he's been doing all year, and then asking people to glean certain messages and certain things for themselves, for their own sadhana, not just quote Papa's words, but what this is telling us. So at one point he was talking about every prompting, Papa says, comes from Ram. And you put that into your way of living. Every prompting comes from Ram. So I felt prompted to ask him a question. And I said, Swamiji, oftentimes people on the path will talk, they want to know whether the prompting is coming from God or coming from their own ego. And so they have to go inside and figure out, well, is this coming from the ego or is this coming from God? But when you reach that consciousness that everything is prompted by Ram, that's what Papa is saying, isn't it? And Swamiji said, every prompting is from Ram. But because of our ego consciousness, it's coming through the prism, depending on the enlightenment, I guess, of the ego, comes through that prism. And so you may be getting aspects of the ego from that prompting. But all promptings are from Ram.
And he said that the prism analogy was some prisms are, or he was using a glass, some is transparent, and that's a saint. Because God's prompting and God's everything comes through and is uncolored and unchanged because there's no ego there to do so. The ego becomes translucent. Light can come through, but it's been distorted and you don't get a clear image. That's where we make mistakes. And then some people, it's opaque. You get the prompting could come from God, but the true nature of the prompting is completely lost if it's opaque. So the three states of understanding.
Lovely. Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, and as you describe that, it's not like just a lens, but if it truly is a prism, then through that prism, it can get transformed into the rainbow of differentiality. And so
right.
That,
true, true. Yeah.
So that prompting becomes even kind of more magical, or has the potential to be, through that interaction rather than the same.
Right, right. And this is how God manifests the world, isn't it? Through the white light coming and being created into colors and variations. But God intended this world to be the way that it is, so we really have, if we want that transparency and we want the clear view of God, that doesn't mean that everyone does. These souls are every bit as powerful as we are. All souls are. This is a spark of God, and they're absolutely all divine. And they have chosen to be here right now in this way, and to live the life they evil people have made the choice to be here for this reason. And in many respects, we have to be careful thinking this. We have one size fits all for everybody. Our teachings are for the last mile, and therefore people crying, many lifetimes of crying out for release, for relief. And so this, we are on the path in that direction, but all souls will go through this. But many souls revel in this. You know, they love this whole world the way that it is. Most don't. These are times that try men souls. That's what the physical world is created for. During the higher yugas, we do have evidence that that's more of a Garden of Eden, and we can live in that way. But did the lions during the Garden of Eden, did the lions still want to eat the lamb? You know, we still have to ask that question.
So they laid down with the lamb.
Yeah. And Master says there's many, many worlds teeming with life in the physical world. And then the astral world, Sri Yukteswar says it's virtually all the planets are inhabited. It's just too much, isn't it? I mean, there's too many people. We can't imagine how it's all put together, all the different needs and desires and movements and successes and failures. And
only 750 are coming to the office.
Nice. A pittance.
That's just a family reunion by Indian scale.
Well, I wish you were all here with us. I haven't been taking many pictures. I should do more, give you an idea. As things grow, maybe I'll do some, I took some early pictures at the canteen, and I thought, well, I'll show it as it goes along, as the days proceed, but I haven't done the other two or three that I wanted to have, and it's quite a bit different, too. It's quite crowded.
Yeah, you'll have to stand up and take a shot all the way across.
Yeah, no, that's how I did the first one, exactly. And you can see, well, at the camp with the people who were serving, and then I swept around to the left, the women, to see the women's side, and you can see hardly anyone there compared to now. It's chocked. That's just 3 days, 3 or 4 days.
Is that big canopy set up by the bookstore and...
Yeah.
Reading
area. It's even bigger this time because it goes, maybe not. I forget now last time, but anyway, this one extends out to the Bhajan Hall now. Is that true last time? Do you guys remember?
It didn't go all the way to the Bhajan. Not at all.
This looks bigger to me, yeah. So quite big.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've got some pictures of before and after. I need to send them out. I think I'll just do that. Even if we don't write anything, I'll just say, here's some pictures to see what's going on. Because it'd be nice for you guys all to see the changes as they go. So.
Please celebrate Christmas for us.
Yeah, we really haven't thought too much
Christmas
about
Christmas will just be in our hearts. I don't think there'll be any.
There's so much going on we can't
intrude. We can't ask for anything. When I was here in 2003, there were a number of orders, and Premanand was here, and we all got together and practiced some Christmas carols. And on Christmas morning, Swamiji had us play all the Christmas carols and sing.
Aww.
And that was very nice. We had a little Christmas gathering, but it doesn't feel
we
like
don't
that's
want to take any, we don't want to take anything away from what they're already dealing with.
And so.
So, but then we will give Mother's Book out if we get it in time. We'll be giving that out to individuals. There's so many people here. We'll mostly give it out to people that we know or we've talked to about this.
You can sing Silent Night as you're walking home from the Bhajan on the 25th.
Yeah, I thought we can do something like that, maybe. Yeah.
Just as you're walking, you can carol.
All right.
We spent the night in Port Townsend, and we saw they had the Victorian carolers walking through downtown Port Townsend. So that was fun.
That early. Oh, yeah. No kidding.
And it was stormy too, so they were quite
what's the weather,
dedicated.
What's the weather like right now?
Oh, it's terrible, Larry. It's 9 degrees. And 35 mile an hour winds and a foot of snow. I'm not kidding.
In Bellingham.
No. Is that
and
right?
And Seattle, 17 degrees. Yeah, you guys got out just in time. Lots of flights are canceled. Hundreds of flights are canceled from SeaTac.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. And Vancouver.
And now the storm is on its way to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. We were at 90 degrees yesterday. And 91 today.
And about 70% humidity.
I wish.
All right. Yeah.
I've been getting a ride to work in a four-wheel drive truck.
Because
my car would never make it to Linden.
Exactly.
Well,
Greg went out yesterday with chains and four-wheel drive and almost slipped off the road. So it's exciting here.
A little more exciting.
We won't complain anymore about our heat.
One thing about the Inquest of God, Swamiji has been teaching, you know, lessons from each chapter. But it occurred to me yesterday, anything this time, maybe today I'll mention it. What first caught me, what amazed me about the book is the humor. I mean, I remember laughing out loud at the absurd situations that he would change the meaning to.
Yeah.
I loved that part of it. It just absolutely thrilled me. But of course, Swamiji's right. He's trying to show us this is a serious book. Oh, that's the other thing, by the way. He said yesterday that Swamiji, that Papa wrote the Inquest of God kind of in notes on the, you know, as it occurred to him from 1923 when he got back to Mangalore area. He just was writing notes, scribbling notes to remember what was going on at such different times he was in different places. And later someone else took it, and that wasn't pretty published until 1925. The first public, you know, official publication was 1925. And that he said, you know, we're probably going to have a celebration then, too, for the launch of that book, because that book has had such an impact in the world. And, of course, they followed it with In the Vision of God, which is even some parts are even funnier. I love his sense of humor.
And now it reminds me, I wrote to Kate when we had finished going through this new book, and I said to Kate, you know, I was laughing here, there, and, you know, lots of places. It's just beautiful. I just love Papa.
really nice.
Oh, there's a new version of The World is God, of Gospel of Swami Ramdas. It's 3 volumes.
Oh.
Broken. You probably have seen there's a 2-volume version that we've had available for some time. Now there's a 3-volume one, volume 1, 2, and 3, in a nice little
isn't that pretty? Yeah.
But it's quite expensive. I think it's like 7 rupees. It's just 10 cents. It's 80 rupees to the dollar now. My gosh, they're really...
you're millionaires.
Helps our side of it, but boy, it's really rough on them trying to... Within their own economy, they're fine. It's just that as they try to buy things outside the economy.
Yeah. Maybe, Kate, you could go shopping for me. I'll pay you back. I'm just kidding.
Kate loves shopping.
Shabby suit.
Right. All right. Let's say our closing prayer. So nice to spend time with you all. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Feel the wonder and the beauty.
Thy glorious presence. In every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet and surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body, my mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee. I, blessed Spirit, I am thee. Peace. Peace.